And now it's time to say good morning to Unetsi, and we're talking nutrition and allergies is the topic. Unetsi, very good morning and welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And thanks for joining us, Unetsi, and welcome back after a bit of flu and missing voices. I'm glad you found your voice.
I'm very happy to have my voice back. I don't know if my daughter is that happy, but I'm happy.
Well, that's good. That's good. But talking about allergies today.
So this morning, I would like to explain a little bit the difference with a gluten intolerance. So gluten intolerance or like a wheat intolerance, I think there's sometimes people get confused regarding what is what. So generally, people will say that they get sick after maybe a gluten-containing or a wheat-containing starch that they have consumed. And so this is obviously because you can call it an allergy or an intolerance, or there's many terminologies out there that people use.
Right, right.
But basically what it means is that your body cannot digest the protein, which is called gluten, and which is mainly found in your wheat-containing foods.
Okay.
So with gluten intolerance, there's two things. You can either be gluten intolerance, which they call a non-celiac gluten sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
or then there is celiac disease. So the symptoms are more or less the same, and we will treat them more or less the same, but there is a difference. So celiac disease is more like an autoimmune response. So it means that your body fights the gluten like a virus. And basically, that will cause inflammation in your gut, and then that will damage your digestive tract. So that's what celiac is. And then there's also a gene predisposition to celiac, which is not in gluten.
Uh-huh.
And people with celiac have very high antibodies in their blood to fight that gluten. So that's sort of how we know that it's autoimmune.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, the symptoms, but then very important with celiac disease, because there's sort of it damages your intestine long those type, if it's a diagnosed celiac, you have to sort of watch yourself for other like vitamin and mineral deficiencies. The only reason is because your gut does not absorb the food substance like it's supposed to.
Okay.
So that will be celiac, and then gluten sensitivity is it's not really the same, but we will treat them the same.
Right.
So then, you know, people don't really know what causes this. Maybe it's just the body might not absorb it, or it's that gene predisposition, or maybe the lining of the digestive tract is not working like it should. Sometimes it can be caused by an illness or a stress situation that can sort of activate that type of response in your body. And if you think about the symptoms, they're really sort of vague symptoms. I always think, like, if you say, oh, I've got a headache and my joints are sore, maybe you are anemic, you feel a little bit depressed, you're tired. So those are sort of the vague symptoms that can just be normal life if you want to really put it to that. But then more severe things would be like severe abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, skin rash. People will also complain about sort of like a brain fogginess. You can also be anxious, bloated stomach. So all of these things are really symptoms of either gluten intolerance or wheat allergy,
uh-huh.
or then celiac disease. So that's sort of the symptoms that you can expect.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite scary what you've mentioned there, that as you say, things that symptoms that could just generally be a life, you know, you sometimes have a headache, you sometimes feel a bit down or whatever the case may be, that could actually be signs of something much, much bigger. And they kind of conceal themselves.
Yes. And the one thing that I've, like, in the past, with when you do, like, when I do patients' dietary, sometimes when it comes to milk, people say, oh, no, you know what? I don't really like milk. I drink my coffee black, or I don't really like pasta or bread. So it's almost weird sometimes with certain people, it's almost like your body chooses not to like those things. And then generally, if you dig a little bit deeper, you might actually get to a symptom or two that will indicate to intolerance or allergy. So yeah, I think it's good to read about stuff like that. Maybe a food diary is always a good idea. If you've got certain symptoms, maybe take 1 week, write a food diary and write the symptoms down. And sometimes it's very easy to actually identify the food substance that really gives you the uncomfortable feeling or whatever it might be, the symptom you might experience.
And
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, also as we've chatted before, that some of these conditions, it's very, very difficult to pinpoint. And that's also where the food diary comes into play, because you can look back and see, I ate that on that day and this is how I felt. And you
Yes.
can start joining the dots and sort of, you know, working out the correlations from there.
Yes. So you obviously can go for the blood test that will pinpoint it to the T, but if you don't want to be that drastic, something like an elimination diet works quite well. It's quite easy to figure it out. But there's always, if you want to have a goal-directed approach, you can probably just go and draw your blood and you can get to the bottom of it. But yeah, that's sort of how you would diagnose or
Well,
know what the situation
that
is.
was actually going to be one of my questions. You know, are there any tests that one can take that will directly identify the problem and say, right, you've definitely got this condition or that condition?
Yes, there's a vast range of allergy tests that you can do, and very effectively you can get to the food substance that really, is the bad guy in
Okay,
life.
so there are, but for a, you know, as you say, that's also the very drastic
Yeah, and like if you've done the elimination diet and you have more or less an idea, then maybe to double check yourself, do go for that, get a professional help, get somebody to do the allergy test, because then you're also not like sort of in the dark about what you are dealing with, and you can actually sort of have a really goal-directed approach of how you're going to handle it. And especially if it's celiacs, it's something that you would want to know, because then you definitely want to exclude gluten, because every single time you eat gluten, it harms the gut even more. So celiac people, definitely you want to exclude gluten from your diet. So obviously, like, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, once you've now identified the problem, you've obviously got to rework your diet.
Yes.
And work out, you know, what you can eat that doesn't contain those ingredients.
Yes, luckily these days we are quite lucky. There's a lot of milk alternatives, and then also a lot of gluten or wheat-free products available on the market. But just to, so if we think about gluten-containing grains, it's generally the stuff that contains wheat. So wheat, barley, rye, things like couscous and pasta, and obviously any baked good, unfortunately, whether it's a bread or a biscuit or a, or pasta or pizza. So I try to simplify it because there's so many wheat-related products available on the market. So if you have a wheat intolerance, the grain products that is generally available, we get lots of potato products. We get lots of maize products. You get lots of rice products. So if you stick to, I'm not saying, like, I mean, there's many gluten-free things, but anything with potato, anything with maize, anything with rice will always be gluten-free. Because it's not wheat. So if you think about the crop that grows, what a wheat looks like, everything that they can do with that, you cannot have. But anything with maize, anything with potato, and anything with rice, you can have. So there's many things like rice crackers, rice cakes. Even in the cereal aisle, you've got like corn flakes, rice krispies. So there's really quite a lot of things available when it comes to starch options for people that will be gluten intolerant.
Okay. So it's not the end of the world. You've just got to be a little bit more careful in what you actually eat.
Yes, so you will have to apply your creativity a little bit. But I mean, if we think about fruit and vegetables, the legume family, amazing source of starch. In other words, your lentils, your beans, chickpeas, peas, really an awesome sort of carbohydrate that you can use. It's rich in fiber. It's low GI. You get very many flour options made from these legumes. And then obviously the ones that I've mentioned. And then fresh meat, obviously that's protein. So, and then nuts and seeds. None of those things really contains gluten. So there are a lot of things available, but we just need to be a little bit creative about it. It becomes a little bit difficult in the sense that maybe you can't just walk into a shop and buy yourself, because if you think about a shop, there's generally a wrap or a sandwich or it's bread containing. So that sometimes makes it a little bit difficult that you will actually maybe have to plan and pack your own food. But otherwise, just keep a packet of rice cakes in your car. Always save
it. Just for those snacks.
Every moment. Yes, yes. And then also, if it comes to snacks, so like the savory snacks, I mean, there's many potato and corn options and rice options. There's lots of things out there that you can have.
Then just a question. You hypothetically, you're going to eat out. You know, what types of things would you specifically be careful of? Do sauces possibly contain substances like glutens and things that you might end up being allergic to?
Yes, so there are lots of condiments, especially like commercial bottled sauces and marinades, because they use like flour or starch to thicken that sauce. So if you read the label and you see anything like wheat starch, obviously that would mean that it's gluten containing. But many of the sauces, they also thicken with a corn starch or a potato starch. You'll see those on labels too. But then if you're really strict in your diet when it comes to a gluten intolerance, for instance, if the majority of your diet are free of gluten, the little bit that you will get, for instance, in the sauce or in the marinade, would not be harmful. If you think about eating out or takeaway food, if it's not an everyday thing, I would not really worry about that little bit in the sauce, unless you are very, very sensitive. But you'll know it immediately in any way. But then with restaurants, luckily these days, there's lots of gluten-free pizza-based options. They also have vegetable alternatives for pasta at many restaurants. So you can always have the gluten-free base or the vegetable option when it comes to a pasta alternative. And obviously potato is fine. So whether it's a wedge or a chip or a mash or a baked potato, it doesn't really matter. So those would be restaurant options. And then if you are scared of sauce, maybe just have the steak without the basting sauce, for instance, or sauces like a barbecue or I'm thinking monkey gland sauce.
Okay.
Because your creamy sauces, like a cheese sauce or a mushroom sauce, it will always start as a bechamel. So if you think, how do you start a bechamel? You melt butter, put flour, add milk. So any milk-derived sauce will always have lots of flour, that you must know, because that's the base of a bechamel. But a clear sauce like the barbecue or the the monkey gland sauce, if they put a little bit in there, and generally restaurants will use maize, like a Mazzina, for instance, because it thickens quickly. You don't have to cook it long. So it will probably be thickened with like a maize starch instead of a wheat, because the nature of the starch is just easy to work with when it comes to sort of making sauces and in a culinary environment. That really works well.
Well, that makes sense. So you've once again just got to be careful and be aware of your surroundings when you go into this world of this hostile world of strange foods for somebody who's suffering from these conditions. But obviously, if you have been diagnosed, you would have been chatting to your doctor, nutritionist.
Yes, obviously, if you battle on your own, getting a dietitian to help you with it, it's just easier, because then with your lifestyle and the stuff, the household things that you generally cook with, it's easy for us to sort of just swap things out without disrupting your life severely.
Right.
So it's easier with a little bit of help.
And that's where people like yourselves come in as nutritionists, where you would be able to, as you say, make a list of things that you can use in place of what you can't.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. And Unetsi, talking about that, if someone wants to reach you, how do they go about getting in touch with you to find out what you can and how you can help them?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very much. Have a great week, and looking forward to chatting again next week, Thursday. Cheerio
then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat. And don't forget, it will be available on our website later today as well as a podcast. And if you want to get hold of Unetsi, her details will be there as well. And thanks very much for chatting to us today. Getting back to the music, we will, after these important words and the newspaper headlines.